to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
A Russian native, and they had gone last week. They were going a little bit of time on vacation right before they leave to go back to Russia. They were planned on, I think, in just a week or so. And they were traveling to Florida with another family, and they had been given a car by a family that had been trying to sell this car for I don't know how many years. It was an old Lincoln, you know, a huge older Lincoln that was huge. And they were trying to sell it, never could sell it. And finally, after years of trying, they decided when Doug and Savetta came in to donate it to them. And they donated the car to them, and they've been driving it around. Savetta is not an experienced driver, and she was driving, though, along the interstate, and they were right near the Mississippi-Louisiana line, going about 70 miles an hour when she was passing or being passed and turned and overcompensated and never hit the brakes. They hit a tree head-on, went off the interstate, hit a tree at about 70 miles an hour, completely totaled the car. I just saw a picture of it this morning, and the car is absolutely devastated. I'm sorry. Right. And missed it. It'd been over. Had it been a different car, a smaller car, we'd have had funerals this week instead of where they are. They were immediately taken into different hospitals. They have three children. They go from 11, 7, and 6, 9, and 11. And the total, they're separated in different hospitals. In fact, the saddest part was the youngest boy was put in the hospital by himself. And I think some of the family members went there, but he thought they'd all left him and gone on vacation and left him in the hospital. And, but the injuries were serious, from broken legs to Ruth just told me this morning, Savetta just found out. Doug and Savetta both checked themselves out of the hospital. Savetta's now, they did an x-ray, I think yesterday or the day before, on her leg and found out the ankle on down is just mush inside. They've completely destroyed it. Anya is the one still in critical condition from kidney, right? Internal bleeding, kidneys. I could go and describe the whole thing to you, but I'm going to tell you it was horrific. They've been in ICU. They've been, two of the children are still in. They've had everything from their colons operated on to they thought Anya had broken her back. And, I mean, just, I could go on. It's just, you can imagine what happens when you hit a tree at 70 miles an hour. They were all in the hospitals. They have no insurance. And, the children are covered by a Louisiana fund that covers children that have no insurance. Doug and Savetta have no insurance, and both of them are in the hospital. They've checked themselves out now. Now it looks further with what's going to happen. They're in Cass. They're in Matthew and Anya are still in the hospital. They're all in New Orleans now. They finally got all into General Hospital. I mean, a children's hospital in New Orleans, but they're in need. And Doug was going to come this morning and present it himself, and I have just woefully described to you the tragedy that's happened this week. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. But what they need right now is financial help. And what we're going to do is we're going to take an offering up for them. And you can make your checks out to Victory, and every penny and more is going to go to them. And I want you to just take a minute and pray. You know, if you're in that situation and you had to rely on God's people only, you know, the need would be there. So we're going to take up in the offering box. I want to take a minute and just pray. And Father, we just lift them up to you. Lord, you know the sacrifice Doug made years ago. You know what he laid down and gave up. And so, Lord, in their time of need, we just thank you right now for the giving that this church is going to do. Father, I ask a blessing upon it. Thank you for the moving of God's people, the help in time of need. Use us, Lord. Thank you for the blessings and the increase you've given us for such a time as this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Would everybody do that? Would everybody give something? Over in the missions box, just give it. And you got little envelopes. If you can put your money in there if you want and put your name and all your tithe credit. If you don't want to, just put the money in there. Every penny will go to them and more. Won't everybody stand up right now? Would you do that? Go ahead and get your little offering ready. And if you would, go on over and do that real quick. And I'll be preaching in just a minute. Go ahead and do that.
Jesus.
Oh, where is it?
Oh. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is
give my mic. There we go. The missions box is on my right side, on your left side. I'm sorry. We only have one missions box, they told me. It's on the right side over here. Just go over to the missions box over here on the my right, your left. And there's a mission box in the middle, and you can put all your money in there. Thanks.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
You can be seated today. And as you're seated, go ahead and stand up. Everybody stand up, would you? Go ahead and give your offering. You just stay doing that. And we're going to read our first scripture. How many of you enjoyed the nun last week? How many enjoyed the nun last week? Did you enjoy the nun? We'll advertise her next year when she comes again as the nun, you know, we'll talk about that. But she was something else. Did she remind you of Brother Samuel? I mean, just remind me of a female Brother Samuel and just what the Lord did. So really, and if you want it, it's two CDs. And I told her to preach at about 11:30, and she bypassed that without a blink. Come on, somebody, never slow down till about 12-something. But I looked down at my watch. It was 12-something. I didn't even believe it. I could not believe. And just fascinating stories and listening to her. So we'll have her again as soon as we can get her back next year, and you can invite some friends and all. Today is the, many kids graduated this past week. Many of the, I know the school ended for most of the elementary schools and high schools, and college got out a little bit earlier. But I want to talk to you about something. We're going to do something at the very end today that is linked to that. We purposely did not last week bring them up to pray because I want to do it this week. I know there's some of them out on Memorial Day and out traveling. But Luke chapter 24, I want to talk to you this morning about the last thing that Jesus did. You know, the Bible says that he was with them for 3.5 years, crucified, was buried, and then rose from the dead, and then was with them for 40 days. And when you're with somebody, some of you have loved ones that's gone on, and or some that you've not seen again. They moved across country or across, you know, the world. And you always kind of remember the last thing that they did. And I want to talk to you this morning about the last thing that Jesus did. I don't believe he ever did things by accident. I don't believe he ever didn't think through things and spontaneous, though he may have been. But when this last thing occurred, it was the very last thing Jesus did to these disciples. They'd been with him for 3.5 years. They'd then been with him on and off for 40 days as he appeared to them. And right at the end, he appears to them. You know, he would pop in and pop out at times. But toward the end of those 40 days, the Bible says that he brought them. He was with them for extended days. And then he brought them out to the Mount of Olives. And it's goodbye time. It's the last thing that they would ever see him do. It was the last thing they would ever hear him say. When you read the book of Acts, Luke gives other accounts of leading up to this point when they're talking to him and saying, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, talk to him about this. He said, "Don't, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endowed or endued with power from on high." Did all that. But there was one last thing he did beyond all of that. And Luke records it in his gospel. The very last thing they ever saw him doing was a very Jewish rabbinical thing, was what they had seen rabbis do over and over all their life. When they went to rabbi school, when they went to the synagogue, they saw the rabbis do this. And the last thing that Jesus did was a very Jewish thing that we as Gentiles have lost the significance and the power of what they did, what he did that day. And what it is, you saw it already, but look at it again. In Luke chapter 24, he did this. Then he led them out as far as Bethany and lifting up his hands. Everybody lift up your hands. Would you lift up your hands? Do you know why he did this? Do you know why a rabbi did this? A rabbi did this so that he would know and the people under him would know that he is not the initiator. He is just a mediator. That what he's doing is not coming from him, but coming from on high. He's only the mediator, not the initiator. That what he's doing or saying is coming from God Almighty, not from himself. All right, put your hands down, all right? Then he led them out as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands. He blessed them. And notice what it says. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. They worshipped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That was, they were continually in the temple praising God and blessing God. Now let me tell you, the Bible says the very last thing that Jesus ever did was a very Jewish thing that he got out on the Mount of Olives after he talked about the prophetic things and being endued with power from on high. The last thing he did was he raised his hands, showing that he was the mediator and that the initiator was God himself, God the Father. And the Bible says he blessed that young church. And as he's blessing them, his feet begin to rise. Come on, somebody. And if we tarry long enough, we're going to do the same thing with it. Come on, somebody. He began to rise up. And the last thing, his hands lifted high, blessed. And they're staring at him with his hands lifted. And he's blessing them and blessing them. And he's right. And finally, they can't see him. Come on, somebody. Father, we thank you this morning that we're a part of something that's been blessed by Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God upon our life. Lord, we just receive and walk in them and thank you for them in Jesus. Everybody said a good amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five. Would you come on? Give them a good high five. You can be seated today. Come on, I'm gonna roll this morning. Listen, the power of the blessing has been so watered down in American culture that we use it when somebody sneezes and we say what? We use it for a sneeze because we've lost the power and the significance of what Jesus did that last day. They knew it. Christians use the word for blessing for everything. What is a blessing? I believe that a blessing is something that you learn that you receive because of who you are, not what you do. Now, that's very important to understand. Listen, God is not let's make a deal. I remember the story of a little Catholic boy and his mother superior told him, now, Henry, you go in there and you pray. You tell God, he wanted a bicycle. He said, Mother Superior, can I have a bicycle? And Mother Superior said, you go in there and you pray. You tell God, I'll be good for 6 weeks and God will give you a bicycle. And he went down, he was an ornery little boy, you know, a little naughty little boy. And he went there and began to pray. And he said, Dear God, I'll be good for 6 weeks if you'll give me a bicycle. And he said, well, scratch that. God, I can't be good for 6 weeks. Oh God, I'll be good for 4 weeks if you give me a bite. He said, scratch that. God, I can't be good for 4 weeks. He said, God, I'll be good for 2 weeks if you'll give me a bite. He said, scratch that. I can't be good for 2 weeks. He looked over in the corner and there was a statue of Mary. He took the sheet off his bed, wrapped Mary in a sheet, put her on the bed. He said, Dear God, if you want to see your mother alive again, I will get a bite. Come on. Listen, God doesn't bless you because of what you do. There's a blessing inherent because of what you are and who you are. See, there's a lot of rich people. They shouldn't have the money. They ought to give the money to us, but they got the money and they don't deserve what they've got. Come on, somebody. But they got it because of relationship. They inherit it because of who they are, not what they did. They probably won't keep it long, but they got it because of who they are. And one of the keys about the blessings of God upon a life, I have learned is to deal with who we are, the children of all. We're the descendants of that early church, that group of men and women that were on that Mount of Olivet. When he blessed them, we are the church of the living God. Now, what is the blessing? Listen, the blessing, what is the blessing? Because we watered it down to where we use the word blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. We don't understand the biblical concept of it. Let me define it this way. The blessing is the impartation of the supernatural power of God into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. I know that's a mouthful, but let me just say it again. The blessing is the impartation of the supernatural power of God into a human life by the spoken word of God's delegated authority. Listen, God has put in the earth delegated authority. And that authority that's all, whatever you're over, if you're a delegated authority, and most of us are delegated authority over something, and we've got to understand that we have the power to bless or to curse. I have learned that the power, that I have the power to bless or to curse. I've been given as a delegated authority from God, not because it's anything of me, because as I said, when you raise your hands, you tell that you're not the initiator, but you're the mediator. You're bringing into existence what God has said. So that is what the blessing is. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why the Jewish people have prospered so as they have? You know, there's a joke and you kid about, well, he's Jewish. And you say that, well, you think about wealth. Let me give another area of the Jewish blessings on their life. That is, the Jewish people represent about 2.5% of the population of America. Guess what percentage, though, of the Pulitzer Prize winners are Jewish? 80%. Well, they simply comprise only about 2.5%. Why is that? It has to do something with the power of the blessing. It has to do with something, because what Jesus did that day was not just start something new. It was something that was known in Jewish culture. It was something they did in Jewish culture. When he raised his hands that day and blessed them, he was doing whatever rabbi does. He's doing whatever father does. He was doing whatever mother does to their children. He was doing what those leaders of the synagogue would do to those under them. He was doing what God had taught them to do, and that was the impartation of the blessings of God. And the reason there is just a blessing upon the Jewish people, it has to do with that. One of the keys is when a Jewish boy or girl reaches the age of 13, they celebrate a bar mitzvah, the other one. And what they do is the parents bring them together, and they have a feast, they do all this and that. But one of the elements of a bar mitzvah is the parents lay hands upon the children. And they begin to pray. I'll show you what they pray, a certain prayer out of Numbers chapter 6. But then after they've repeated that prayer, which God gave, and I'll show you that in a moment, they then begin to add what else they feel like for that child. And they begin to bless their children. They begin to speak into the life of their children this blessing that has come down from the understanding of how a delegated authority has the power to impart a supernatural blessing onto those that are under you. The Bible says Jesus did the last thing he did to the church, the beginning of our church age. Let me tell you this. Parents have such a power to bless or to curse your children. Look what Proverbs 18 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Say that with me. Say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say it one more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You got to understand, when you begin to speak things into your children, your tongue has the power of death and life, because out of that comes the blessing or the curse. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says this. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, there are some parents that are toxic parents. They poison their children. They tell them they're stupid, they're ugly, they're dumb, they're whatever. Oh, you know, I'm just kidding. No, you're not kidding. You're not just teasing. You're cursing your children. You've got the power of life because you, as the delegated authority over your children, you have the right to either bless your children or curse your children. So you've got to learn how to speak blessings into them. That's what the Jewish people do at every bar. And they reaffirm it then every Sabbath. They speak and they pray over their children. Why has the Jewish people prospered like they have? I believe it's because of the power of the blessing. The Bible says very definitely, bless and curse not. well, that means you aren't supposed to use four-letter words. No. It has to do with the ability that you have as light or savor of life unto life to speak life into situations. You can speak life into your business, life into your relationships, whatever it may be. But you speak it. Now, let me give you a brief history of it. Genesis 1, and in the very beginning when God made mankind, then God said, let us make men in our image after our likeness. And he let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, the birds, the heavens, the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of him created him, and male and female he created them. Verse 28. Now watch this. And God did what? God blessed them. We've watered that down to where we think, well, you know, God said, well, you'll be blessed. And we think that's the, but it was a supernatural impartation that God gave Adam and Eve that caused them to be blessed. Gave him such wisdom that he had the ability to name every animal. You saw that? How many know that? You got to be pretty smart to name every animal. He had the ability. He had anointing on his life. The Bible says he blessed them, and God said to them, and all that he said to them about multiply. Listen, there is a power in the spoken word of blessing. When the delegated authority over that raises his hands, and as a sign that he is a mediator, not the initiator, that God Almighty now is blessing whatever this is. You got to understand that as a parent, you have such power over your children. You have the power to either curse them or bless them. Speak a blessing in life. And I don't care how far along you are, you can change your life and change how you deal with your kids and begin to bless them from this day forth. Come on, somebody. You begin to start now speaking. Genesis 12, look what God did to Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will do what? I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a what? See, we're blessed not so we can us four no more. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing. We're blessed so that we can pass on what we've received to others, because there's no lack and there's no end to the blessing God's done in our life. We don't have to worry about, you know, running out. Because we're, you know, you just stay filled up, and when you give out, you go back and find out you're full all over again. Come on, somebody. So you're blessing. Look what verse 3 says. And I will bless those who bless you. Now, that is a key verse there. Because God will bless those that bless the nation of Israel. Whether you believe it or not, listen, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everybody say, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can I tell you that America is what America is, not because of the sweat of our brow only, but because we have done unto the children of God, unto the Jewish nation, we've been a blessing to them, and who's blessed them, God will bless. I'll show you that. It's absolutely true. America is who we are. Listen, you know, when Jesus told in John 4:22 that salvation is of the Jews. You know what that means? That means the Bible was written primarily by Jews. It wasn't a Baptist in the bunch. Come on, somebody. It was written by Jews. And it was written, listen, we are blessed today. This book we hold, we're blessed today because it was written by Jewish people. Majority of it, written by Jewish people. And you've got to understand this. Listen, the blessings of Abraham produced the discovery of this nation. You don't believe that? You study the Bible. Christopher Columbus was an Italian Jew. I don't know if you know that. Christopher and when Isabella and King Ferdinand issued the edict of expulsion from Spain, a Jewish businessman gave to Columbus the money that it was necessary to go and begin to find a new place for Jewish nation. He discovered America. Do your own history lesson. All historians know that from the time the Jews were kicked out of Spain, that what was called the Golden Era ended over the world, and a new era began, which was America. Come on, somebody, say America. And we're not something because we're just so hot and all that. We're something because we opened the world up for the Jewish nation. We blessed a nation that God said, if you bless that nation, I'll bless you. Amen. Amen. Oh, somebody say, come on, somebody say amen. I want to suggest that much of what the blessing that God has placed on America is because we've been willing to give the Jewish people a place until the lion of the tribe of Judah comes back and puts them back in their own land, because we've had open borders and we've inherited and we brought them in. Much of the blessing is because of what we did. And let me tell you this, an historical fact. When the 13 colonies were fighting the British over the American independence, our troops were poorly fed, poorly clothed, and were on the verge of defeat. A Jewish banker by the name of Chaim Solomon of Philadelphia went to the Jewish community in Europe and secured a loan of millions of dollars, of which they did not even require a signature for General Washington. And it was that money that brought America through, and we were released from the bondage of being under the British Empire. And in response to that, General Washington went to the engravers of the $1 bill and said, we've got to put a lasting memorial and thankfulness to the Jewish population, what they did for us. And you'll look on every dollar bill, you'll see the Star of David out of Starburst that's there. And then with that cloud, which was a Shekinah glory that rested in the tower. You know why? Because we have blessed them. We've been blessed as a people. See there, come on, give them a good clap offering, would you? God's blessings are permanent. Let's jump to the New Testament. Look at Acts chapter 3. It says, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying, Abraham, in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you away from wickedness. Let me tell you, this concept of blessing was interwoven in the Old and the New Testament. It's there. Peter's preaching about it on that day of Pentecost. And he's telling them that, and he brings back to all these Jews from other nations. He said, listen, you understand the power of the blessing that God said, I'm going to bless all those that bless Abraham, that in all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through the blessing that I place upon this man called Abraham. In fact, and look at Mark chapter 10. You know, when you read, I don't have time, but Matthew 5, when Jesus begins his ministry, he does 9 blesseds. Blessed are this. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are, because he begins to speak about this power of the blessing. Everybody say blessing this morning, would you? Look at this. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus saw it, he was everybody say indignant. Why was he indignant? Why was he indignant? One to do about children, the care, I understand that. But the other one was about these disciples didn't understand the power of the blessing. They thought this was a waste of, man, they're bringing kids up there to dedicate and praying over people. What kind of waste of time? And the Bible says Jesus became indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And watch this. And he took them in his arms and did what? Blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, let me ask you a question. If it was not important, why did Jesus do it? If it wasn't important, why did he do it? Because he never did anything that was not important or powerful. And he had learned, it got into a routine and a ritual, but he understood the power of blessing. And the Bible says he laid his hands. What did he say? What did he mean he blessed? What did he say? What does it mean that he said, okay, bless you, bless little child? What did he do? What did he say? As the delegated authority from God Almighty, what did he bless? How? What does that mean he blessed them? What did he say into their lives? What did he, and I'll show you that in just a minute. What did he speak? He blessed them. He took time out. Jesus never did anything that was not important. What did he say? I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said the same thing he said that day he was leaving earth. And he raised those hands, and the Bible says, and he blessed. Because you say it, the rabbis always said a certain something, and then they added whatever the moment, whatever the person, whatever whatever the Lord was giving them right there for that group. And the Bible says he took his hands and he blessed these children. And Jesus spoke the blessing on these children. As a spiritual authority, there was a supernatural in. How many believe those children were probably blessed in their lives? I wish we could trace those kids those mamas had enough sense to bring their kids. That was like, I'm just going to shame you right now, because last week we had Teresa Greenhoff here, and she was open about praying for people at the end. I bet you not 10% of the people in this place came up here and had her lay hands on. Okay, thank you for that enthusiasm. We'll move right on. I understand you can't get anything if you're not willing to pay the price, but at the same time, there's a transferring of the blessings of God on people's lives. And so the Bible says he blessed them. And look at this. Luke chapter 24, we'll read it again. But he blesses the church. And we said that he led them out as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands. He blessed them. And we read it already. And the Bible says, as he was carried on into heaven, he was still. What did he say? He did what every Jewish rabbi did from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath. He did this. Look at Numbers chapter 6. And this is exactly what he said. And he'd add, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, who was the high priest, and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Oh, you know what that was? God instructed them at the very beginning when Israel came out of Egypt. He said, I want to train the delegated authority that's over my people. I want to train them how to bless my people. Moses, you tell your brother Aaron, who's the high priest, you tell him I want him to do this. Every Sabbath, I want him to bless my people. Raise his hands, and there's another portion. Raise his hands to show that he's the mediator, not the initiator. That it is I myself is going to bless my people. And I want him to speak these words. I want him to bless the people of God. And the Bible says he would begin to bless. And listen, and Jesus blessed that early church. You ought to see the odds against the early church making it with him gone was nil to none. I mean, you had Peter and James and John, and you read about them and all the things they did. But I'm going to tell you, when God puts his blessings on you, you can be as dumb as a mule and still prosper. Come on, somebody. When the blessings of God's on your life, I've seen some business guys. I wonder, how in the world are they prospering? They're prospering because the blessings of God's on their life. You know, blessing is that inanimate thing. That's that thing you can't describe. See, a blessing is that something you can't do a seminar and teach how for somebody else. You either blessed or you're not. You've either received the blessings of God upon your life or you're not. It's like a millionaire who inherited all his money teaching a seminar. Now, here's how you get to be a millionaire. You have a daddy that's a millionaire. Come on, somebody. It's just what you are. It's not what you did. It's just what you are. You know, a good way. So when you understand that, the Bible says this, that early church prospered. When you read the epistles of Paul, Paul literally condenses the rabbinical blessing, and he starts every one of his epistles this way. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know what that was? That was the rabbinical blessing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Every one of his epistles start out because he was, you know, being in that, he knew the power of the blessing. And he wrote every church he ever founded. He wrote every letter he ever started. And he started with the rabbinical blessing, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Isn't that good? Let me do this number. Number one is this. The source of all blessing is from God. The Lord bless you. Look at this. Numbers 6 and 24. It says, everybody say the Lord bless you. Would you say that? Listen, when someone gives you something, make sure they give it to you in the name of the Lord. Because if they give it to you from themselves, you know they're going to be payback one day. They're going to try to manipulate you, hound you, make you feel guilty about what they gave you. You ought to come over and see them more because they gave you that. Make sure when you get something that they give it to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. You know what Proverbs, my next scripture there about, where I have it, Proverbs 10. It says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Come on, somebody. When God blesses you, there's no sorrow attached to it. is just blessings from the Lord. See, all blessings really come from God. When God does it, it comes from the Lord. The Hebrew word literally means on bended knee. It's almost, you remember that if ever any of you saw the Lord of the Rings, at the very end, when the last number three, when he's become king and they bring the four hobbits up, the Bible says that, the movie says, come on somebody. The movie says the king, Aragorn, bows before, just kneels down and honors them. He didn't put himself below them. By his kneeling, he honored them. And one Hebrew scholar says that word, the Lord bless you, literally means it's as if God on bended knee blesses. Come on, somebody. Jesus did that in that room that at the Last Supper. He got down on bended knee and washed the feet of those to honor them. He said, if I, your master, have washed your feet, wash one another. There was a blessing incurred there. He said, because he was washing away the filth of the world. That they go, listen, there's so, everybody say amen. Dave. Will you say amen? The second thing is the Lord will keep you. Verse 24, the Lord bless you. It says the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. That's a military. How many would like to have the Lord keep you? That's a military term. That was a term that shepherds used many times when they would take thorn bushes and they would build a hedge about their sheep. And it didn't matter what tried to get the way. Another word it was used, a military word, it meant to defend you by all means against all enemies. Psalms 23, 1 through 4 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, there was a rod that was used by the shepherds that if a lion or a bear came, he would come out and attack that lion or that bear. And there came times when the Bible speaks about that there are enemies that come in our lives. But one of the blessings of God upon our life is this. When a Jewish rabbi would bless these people, he said, the Lord keep you. You know what I've learned in life? There are situations when the enemies surround me and I've got to come back to that blessing that I've received from the Lord. The Lord keep me. The Lord is my rock. The Lord's my shield. The Lord's my high tower. And so what happens next time that happens, you just tell those enemies, come on closer. That's it. Come on, snarl a little bit closer. And when they get close enough, you'll see the shepherd of Israel come out and knock them into tomorrow. Come on, somebody. I've learned he is my defense. He is my protection. And then number three, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. You know, I don't know the best way I can explain it is this morning I came out early and I was outside. It was sunshine. I said, those poor weathermen, they ain't got a clue in the world what's going on. The sun was shining this morning. It was bright. And we went into Sunday school classes and we was in there greeting people and all this. When I came back out, it clouded over. I said, well, maybe they do know what they're talking about. And it clouded all over. And you know the difference? The difference when I came out, it was like night and day. It was like the sun was shining. Things were bright. It had a feeling, an up feeling. And then when I came out and it cloudy, I kind of was down, depressed, you know, going to rain on my parade kind of time, you know, kind of things. And you know what the Bible says? The Lord make his face to shine upon you. I tell you, in the midst of any rainy day you got, you just close your eyes and you can go to that happy place. Come on, somebody. You can go to that place where the sun is always shining. And he, listen, you have, the Bible says his face would shine upon you. Then number four, the Lord be gracious. Everybody say gracious. The Lord be gracious. Verse 25. Grace, listen, grace is when we don't receive, or let me say, grace is when we receive what we don't deserve. Mercy is when we do not receive what we do deserve. I like grace and mercy. I don't know about you. Mercy is when I don't receive what I should get. It's like that time when you get pulled over. Please don't give me a ticket. Please. Mercy. One more and they take my car. One more and they lose my... And you get mercy. You don't receive what you deserve. But grace is when he looks around and he says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take off the last five tickets you had. I'm going to scratch them and put it off. Well, that's getting what you don't, it's getting, receiving what you don't deserve. What happens is life is, you know, Psalms 23 says, surely goodness and loving, the word loving kindness, when it says surely goodness and mercy, everybody say goodness and mercy. What says grace, that goodness is grace, it says, shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what one translation of verse 25 says, not only it says, would he turn his face toward me? Everybody say, turn his face toward me. You know, we've gone to a lot of countries of the world. And we'll come out of the airplane into the airport, and there's crowds and crowds of people in these airports. In some parts of the world, it's not like America. There's no boundaries, and there's no this and that. You just kind of come out, and you're looking around for somebody to recognize you, and you're just looking. And what happens, a lot of these countries, we've never met them, but they've met us by pictures. They've seen pictures of us. They've seen Brother Samuel and his whole family. And all of a sudden, you'll be looking around, and you know, everybody's looking for somebody, and you know, and faces, and they look at you, and then they just turn their face from you. And but all of a sudden, you just lock eyes with somebody. Big old smile comes on their face. What happens of wondering, of lostness, of unknowingness? Just when they turn their face toward me, everything changes. I'm found. Come on, I'm found. I'm not lost. There's somebody. They know me. They're coming for me. Oh, and you just see them, and they wave up, and other faces turn toward you. You know, I can be lost as a goose, and then have him turn his face toward me. I remember John Osteen said it best one time. He said it when Joel was a little boy. You know, Joel, he said, Joel, say, Daddy, can I have some water? He'd go in there and give him some water. And then all of a sudden, patter, 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 he'd come back in there. And he said, Joel, get out of this bed one more time. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to whip you. Daddy, can I? He said, don't talk again. And finally, he said, his bedroom was on this one. Finally, Joel said this. He said, Daddy, is your face turned toward me? Aren't you glad that God turns his face toward us? Aren't you glad that when you're bewildered and lost, you can know that one of the blessings of God is at his face? And then the last one is, and the Lord give you peace. Come on, somebody. Put number 6 up there again, and here's what I want to do this day. I want all, and here's how they would work that. Put Numbers chapter 6 up there, would you? Put number 6, the verse. The Lord lift up his countenance. He said, now Moses, tell Aaron, here's what I want him to do to the people. I want him to raise it. I want him to bless the people. As a mediator, I am the initiator. I'm going to bless the people. Here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to teach them how to bring the blessings of God upon their life. And Jesus carried that right on. Paul carried it right on. Jesus, the last thing he did to the early church, he's leaving heaven. He'd raise his hands as the rabbinical priest did in those days. And he said, I believe with all my heart, he quoted Numbers chapter 6. The Lord, listen, the Lord, go back to Numbers, go back a little bit. Go back to Numbers 24. Go back to 24, can you? Back one more. Go back. There we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And I believe with all my heart, that's exactly what Jesus said that day. And then he began to add. And what they did, rabbinical priests, they then add to whatever else the occasion, whatever else God gave them to bless these people. Read the story of Jacob if you don't believe in the power of the blessing. Read the story of Jacob. The Bible says Esau was the oldest, and Jacob connived to steal the blessing. You remember that? Steal the blessing. Not only the inheritance, not only the first, but steal the blessing. And the Bible says when his father put his hands on him, that he received the blessing of the firstborn. Because there was a power in the delegate authority bringing the blessing upon their life. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want all the kids that have graduated to come on up. Whether you were high school, middle school, we even had kindergarten graduate. Come on, somebody. We've had kindergarten, our college, tech school, whatever. I want you guys to come on up. Would you do that? And then if your parents are here, I want them to come up. If not, then we'll bring some other people up as Christians. But I want the graduates. Come on, guys. Come on across here. You guys stretch out across here. And what we're going to do now, not just some ritual, okay, just bless them. You know, let me tell you something. I believe in the power of the blessing. When I was a little boy, my mom and dad used to lay hands on me and bless me. I tell you the reason I'm a pastor today is not just my own da-da-da. It's because I had parents that understood the power of the blessing. They laid hands on me. They told me, Terry, you got a bless, you got a calling, you got, and they would speak into my life. And what they would do many times, all the parents come up, then grandparents and other people, come on up. Some friends and these, maybe their parents aren't here today. I want the rest of you come on up here. Would you come on? Some friends and relatives and all the others, come on up. What they would do is this. I remember one time there was a man, he said, I was praying for people. And he said, you know what, God, is we'll pray this rabbinical prayer. And that the Lord would bless them and the Lord would raise his face, shine his face. And I'm just going to read it out. And we're going to do this. I'm going to pray this over them as pastor over this church. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And I want each one of them laying hands on them. I want you to pray what the Lord gives you and to speak blessings into their life. And I'm going to tell you, you can, if you've not done this to your kids, if they're 50 years old, you go ahead and start it today. And you can begin to speak blessings into their life. I want everybody to stretch your hands out toward them up here. And I'm going to raise my hands and we're going to acknowledge that we're not the initiators of this. We're just the mediators. And we're going to believe in the power of the blessing as Jesus did those children when he'd lay hands and he blessed them. And so I say today that the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and the Lord give you peace. Now, everybody stretch your hands and let's begin to pray. Just begin to pray what else the Lord gives you. Father, we begin to pray this morning. We thank you, Lord, for prospering these kids. Thank you, Lord, begin opening up doors for them. Father, begin to speak into their lives. We begin to pray for their marriage mates later on. We begin to pray, Lord, for who they're to marry. Father, we pray the right person. We begin to pray over them that you would just keep them and protect them, oh God. We begin to thank you now the blessings of God would be upon their lives. Lord, for work-wise, with the right job, the right company, Lord. We pray a blessing upon them, Lord. Prosper them, Lord. We begin to ask you, open up doors of opportunity for them. Lord, the callings upon their life, a missions calling, pastoral callings, Lord. We begin to speak that in their life. We thank you for speaking and touching them. Lord, we begin to thank you this morning for what you're doing in them. Father, we begin to speak health-wise. We begin to pray for long life. Lord, we begin to pray, Lord, they've been obedient to their parents. Long life into their life, oh God, this morning. We begin to pray for that, Lord. Shadow them, overshadow them. Lord, in the dark days, let your face shine upon them. Begin to increase them, Lord. Lead them to the right school, Lord. If they're going to college, lead them to the right school this morning, oh God. Get them the right curriculum. Give them the right professors, Lord. Give them favor with their teachers. Give them favor with their students. Lord, with their classmates. Give them favor, oh God. We begin to thank you now. We pray a blessings of God upon them. God, we give you the glory and we bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And everybody said a good amen this morning, would you? Give them a great clap offering this morning. Amen. I want the musicians to come up right now, if you would. All musicians come up. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the power of the blessing. Let me tell you something. This not only did with parents to children, but this had to do with as Jesus did the church. Rabbis would do their church. You can do this in your business. You can do this with friends. You can do this. Listen, you have been given the authority to bless. The Bible says, bless and curse not. You have been given the power and the authority to bless families, bless neighbors, bless friends, bless people around your life. You've been given that authority and that power to do that. And this morning, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to begin to see yourself not as cursed, but as blessed. I don't know if you've felt like, man, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd be no luck at all. I'm going to tell you something. This morning had nothing to do with luck. Every Jewish family, when they sent their kids off, they didn't say, well, good luck. Good luck. They didn't do that. You know what they did? They had a bar mitzvah or a bar patch. You know what they did? They laid their hands on their kids. And they began to say, the Lord bless you. Come on. Ain't that better than good luck? The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lift up his countenance. The Lord be gracious. The Lord give you peace. That's better than saying, well, good luck on the test. Good luck. We don't say that. We don't say good luck. What we believe is the power of the blessings of God. The power of the supernatural blessings of God upon our kids. But not only upon children, it extends far beyond that. It has to do with everything of your life, to be blessed and not cursed, to walk in the blessings of God, to let God, to receive it, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. That I'm a son of the living God. I'm a member of the church of Jesus Christ. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. His face is shining on me. I can walk in the blessings of God in my life. Father, we love you. We just receive it. Now, before we sing, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to say it to you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord give you peace. And I, in Jesus' name, as the pastor over this place, I lift my hands as not the initiator, but as a mediator. And I bless you financially. I bless you spiritually. I bless you in your relationships. I bless you emotionally. I bless you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I bless you that He will be your protector. I bless you that He will keep you and protect you. I bless you. I bless your children and your grandchildren. I pray the blessings of God upon your business, upon all your endeavors of your life. I ask in the name of Jesus that the Lord would shine His face upon every dark area of your life. Every demonic stronghold would be rooted out and routed in the name of the Lord. I bless you, and I place the name of Jesus upon you. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Go ahead, Psalms.